Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited about Don Lambro being back on the show. He's an old friend of ours. He's a senior political reporter for the Washington Times and a nationally syndicated columnist. You've seen his, many of you have seen his column in several dozen papers around the country. Don Lambro, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's good to have you back. Don, I heard the Prime Minister Blair's speech yesterday at a meeting of Congress, not a congressional it's not a joint session of Congress, because only the president gets that, but it was a joint meeting of Congress, and he gave one of, if not the best, political speeches I've ever heard in my life. And you've had a chance to listen to it too, haven't you?
I did. I thought it was inspiring and moving because of the partnership between the United States and Great Britain. Many prime ministers have talked about that partnership, but Tony Blair really did it in a level of eloquence and inspiration that brought it to a new level at a juncture when both leaders are under fire from critics at home and elsewhere about the actions they took. Blair, of course, in his speech, put those actions in the context of destiny. Destiny, he says, puts you in this place in history, in this moment in time, and the task is yours to do. It was really an inspiring and moving speech that lifted even some of the president's doubters in Congress to their feet and applause. So I think that comes at a pivotal time for both of them, and I think takes some of the wind out of the sails of their critics. When they say that this war should not have been fought, we should have waited until there was more proof that Saddam Hussein was going to kill hundreds and thousands of people more.
I'll never forget what he said about that, Don, and I'm going to have to paraphrase him because I don't remember the exact words. And if you do, I'll let you say this if you remember exactly what he said. But and if you do, just stop me. But he said essentially, if we overreached, if we overreacted, if we were too proactive in doing what we did, perhaps history will forgive us.
That's right.
But if we did less than was necessary, if we didn't do the best that we could in what we thought we should have done, history would never forgive us for that.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, that's a part of his speech that every leader, regardless of what they're doing, if they're leading a three-person small business or the largest nation in the world, should have those words put on their wall.
Well, it was Churchillian, and it's I think
yes, that's a good way to say it.
And Churchill probably said this when we were approaching World War II. But if we don't act now, history will judge us very badly. Indeed, and the fact is that that other presidents, Clinton warned about Hussein, and Clinton said, if we don't do something about Hussein, this is a 1998 speech, he will go right on and do more to rebuild an arsenal of devastating destruction, and someday, some way, I guarantee you, he'll use the arsenal, unquote. That's still President Bill Clinton. The point is that Bush did something about it. Blair did something about it. And that's, of course, the difference. And this is the debate going on in this country and elsewhere. Do we wait until we are attacked? Do we wait until megalomaniacs do something terrible? Or do we act at the appropriate time to prevent that from happening in the future? That's what Bush did. That's what the United States did. And I think history will judge them kindly as a result.
Well, I do, too. Now, of course, the issue, and I think it's appropriate to point out, too, Don, that there are people who now are against having gone to war, who in 1998 voted for. They actually got behind President Clinton in his perspective, his opinion of Hussein and what he thought we should do about it. They actually voted for that in those days, but now they're against it. So it's if you look around, and folks, the things that I'm talking about too often appear on both sides of the aisle. And this is where politics turns ugly, Don, in my opinion.
It does. You had four of the Democratic presidential candidates vote for the war resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But by listening to Kerry, you would never think that he did, as he keeps a drumbeat of criticism on Bush and not showing any vision or suggesting any plan about what he would have done or what we should do. Their plan seems to be to just... let's sit tight and let's see what he would have done. But Bush had a plan, and now Saddam Hussein and a regime is gone. I think one of the things that Tony Blair said about in his speech was, okay, we have this flap over this document that turns out that we had, and it turns out to be a forgery on Iraq attempting to buy nuclear materials, uranium, from an African country. Of course, Tony Blair and Great Britain have their own independent information on that, and they maintain that Iraq did. So you have that discrepancy there.
Bush, and he was very specific about that yesterday.
He was.
He nailed that to the podium, didn't he?
Which is the crux of the matter. Yeah, over this flap, which I see Charles Krauthammer says has turned a molehill into a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is Bush mentioned the British intelligence arrived at independently of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in his speech, Blair said he stands absolutely behind that. He said that earlier this week before Parliament. And Jack Straw, the British Foreign Secretary, also reiterated that.
Mm-hmm.
So this flap over whether one piece or one document, we have lots
18,
of documents
18
and
words
lots of evidence and lots of intelligence about what Saddam Hussein has done. And we should not measure this on one document, which turned out to be a forgery, which happens mm-hmm. in intelligence gathering.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't, of course, in any way dismiss all the other evidence. And yesterday, another mass grave found, and thousands were executed and dismembered and buried in mass mm-hmm. graves. And we're finding them all over Iraq. And, of course, our intelligence showing that terrorists and their money keepers were going in and out of Baghdad for many
right.
years. They are part and parcel of terrorism and the attacks on this country. And that was
Don, hold on to that thought, Don. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend Don Lambro right after these messages. It's 20 after. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Don Lambro is our guest. He's chief political reporter for the Washington Times. And as I said earlier, many of you see his byline in dozens of papers around the country. And Don, what was your most recent article about?
The most recent article had to do with the states and the budget problems that they are enduring.
Catastrophe. They're not problems, they're catastrophes.
Well, they're a catastrophe, but my piece kind of took another side of this story that I don't think has been reported. They've had problems, and they've had to tighten their belts, and some states have been, New York, California, of course, $38 billion deficit.
Mm-hmm.
But what I focused on is something that the National Government Association and the news media have been pounding as this the worst thing that's ever happened to this country. Any business knows that when your revenues are reduced, you've got to tighten your belt. The fact of the matter is that most of the states are not in that bad shape. They've been dealing with it. Most of the states, contrary to the news media, have not been raising major broad-based taxes. They have been, to some degree, cutting spending, although mm-hmm. not very much, really.
Not enough.
And they've been raising fees. They've been raising the smaller taxes, not the broad-based taxes, I think. In that juncture, it's maybe a dozen or less. And they're dealing with it. And the latest numbers show that spending in this 2004 fiscal year is going up slightly, between 2 and 3%. Mm-hmm. And tax revenues are going up slightly. So things are getting better. They're not the dire situation that we've been seeing on the nightly news. And that was the whole point of that column. Mm-hmm. And it had some numbers to show that that's the case.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm looking forward to how things are going to be. One of the things I pointed out in a recent speech, not a speech, but a recent comment that I made in a group where we talked about this very issue, Don, was that, you know, the state's problem is really a short-term problem. It's really something they're probably only going to have to endure for about another year or so. When the economy comes back, a lot of ills are going to be cured.
Absolutely. This is a problem of revenue.
Same thing with the federal government.
That's right. It's also a problem over spending. During the go-go 90s, the states were spending as if there were no tomorrow, and they overspent. People in business know that you spend prudently in good times, so you have enough money to tide you over in bad times. And the states still have not learned that lesson.
Right.
But, you know, one of the complaints is that Bush's tax cuts have worsened the problem in the states and will reduce our revenues. In fact, his tax cuts are going to help the states, and I think are helping the states, because they offset the fee increases and some of the sales tax increases and other things that the states have done.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this month, family tax credit refund checks are going out to about 25 million families.
Mm-hmm.
And next week, they'll begin to go out. It'll take several weeks for those checks to go out. That's going to be a major boost, I think, to the fiscal situation the families face.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the withholding rates have reduced, and those are now implemented. So all of these things are coming together at this juncture, and we'll see if that provides the propulsion we need to kind of kick ourselves out of this situation that we're in.
Don, I want to come back to what we were talking about earlier and that we were launching off of Tony Blair's speech yesterday. This speech did a lot of good for George Bush. I'm not sure that it's going to help Blair that much in his country. Does George Bush need to go to London and make a speech in the House of Commons?
I think he wouldn't be a bad idea, and I think he probably will.
Then there need to be a little quid pro quo here?
Yes, I think he probably will. I think weapons of mass destruction will be found. I think perhaps Saddam Hussein will be found. I think the path of democracy that we have put Iraq on is going to continue. The governing council has been appointed. And democracy is a very powerful force. So I think when all of these things are moving, the doubters are going to be quieted, and these two leaders are going to be seen as people who had vision, who dealt with a huge problem to prevent a future catastrophe.
Well, this
when others just sat by and did nothing.
This situation in the Middle East is a mega marathon. And for the doubters to dwell on what's happening this month or even this year is like hopelessly falling in love with an inch. You know,
that's right.
This is a mega marathon. This is almost a multi-millennium marathon. I mean, you got to look at that situation in the very long view. And to me, to focus on what's happening today or this month or even this year is a very politically dangerous thing to do.
Right. I thought a key part in Blair's speech was where he expressed some doubts, unlike Bush, about, let's say they can't find the weapons of mass destruction,
right.
But they have been totally destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Can we be sure that terrorism and weapons of mass destruction will join together? Let us say one thing. If we were wrong, we will have destroyed a threat that, at its least, is responsible for inhuman carnage
mm-hmm.
and suffering. And we know certainly thousands have disappeared and been executed throughout Iraq. We know that he invaded Iran. We know that he invaded and took over Kuwait.
Right.
We know he had designs on Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And I think sources say that he was trying to get nuclear weapons. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He did something about that.
Absolutely. Don Lambrow, well done, well said, and thank you for being here today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, with the Washington Times. Check him out there in your local newspaper as well. Quick break, right back with Pat Moorhead. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.